I rise today in strong support of the 2007 Farm Bill. But before I go to the specifics of the Farm Bill, I also want to acknowledge those who have worked so hard in getting us to where we are today. This has been a huge undertaking that has spread out over several years, starting under the leadership of Senator Chambliss and his work in the Agriculture Committee, the hearings that he held around the country, the hearings that he held in the West and in the Southeast and all over, contributed greatly to the bipartisan product that we bring to the floor of the Senate today. In addition, the great leadership of our chairman, Senator Harkin, a man from farm country whose heart and soul are about making sure that agriculture and rural America thrives. His leadership and the help of his staff in getting us to this point today is something that we all must acknowledge and something for which I am grateful for and something for which the farmers and ranchers and rural Colorado is very grateful for. I also want to acknowledge both Senator Baucus and Senator Grassley and their leadership on the Finance Committee. The energy and specialty crops and conservation pieces of the Farm Bill have been significantly enhanced by the actions that were taken by the members of the Finance Committee. And without the leadership and the bipartisan example of both Senator Baucus and Senator Grassley, we would not be where we are here today. And it goes without saying that even though there are many laudatory comments here given to the chairman and ranking member of both the Agriculture and Finance Committee, that there are many other members of the U.S. Senate working on both of those committees that have helped craft what I truly believe is one of the most historic pieces of legislation to come before this body that will open up a whole new chapter for agriculture and for rural America, and a product which I am very, very proud of. I also want to thank the agricultural leaders in my state of Colorado who have been so helpful to me over the last 2.5 years as we have helped craft the Farm Bill, which is before the Senate. In particular, I want to mention Commissioner John Stulp, the Commissioner of Colorado's Department of Agriculture, Kent Pepler and Lee Swenson, who are with the Rocky Mountain Farmers Union, Ellen Fouts and Troy Brendan Camp, who are the leaders of the Colorado Farm Bureau, Nick Midcap and Daryl Hanovan and Dusty Tellman, who have labored so hard on this bill and who are with the wheat growers, Byron Weathers and Mark Sponsor, who are the leaders of the Colorado Corn Growers Association, Terry Frankhauser with the Colorado Cattlemen's Association, Scott Johnson and Bill Hamrick, who are with the Colorado Livestock Association, and the Independent Cattlemen of Colorado, RCAF, Doug Zaleski, John Reed, and Kathleen Kelly. I want to thank Greg Yando with the Colorado Dairy Farmers of America, Jim Ehrlich with the Colorado Potato Administrative Council, Tom Check with the Colorado Water Conservancy District, Central Colorado Water Conservancy District, and a whole host of other people from the state of Colorado who have been very instrumental in our efforts in moving this bill forward. Mr. President, this legislation that is before us today is truly a bipartisan, forward-thinking, and balanced package that we bring to the floor. It is truly the example of how this Senate ought to work, bringing Democrats and Republicans together on what is a major issue. I want to at the outset also say that Senator Reid, the Majority Leader's efforts to try to get us forward to a point where we will reach conclusion on this Farm Bill is something which I very much appreciate. This is, after all, the Farm Bill. We ought not to be debating the great issues of our time, whether those be the issues of Iraq or the issues of immigration or the issues that have to do with Latin America, issues that are extraneous to what we are trying to do in this legislation. This is, after all, a Farm Bill, and Senator Reid's efforts to try to make sure that what we are doing here is to keep the focus of this bill on agriculture and rural America and the substantive components of the Farm Bill is something that is important. And I would hope that my colleagues on both sides of the aisles, Republican and Democrats, say, yes, what we have to do is get a process here that gets us to conclusion on the Farm Bill. Today, Mr. President, is a particularly proud day for me. As you know, the occupant of the chair was very involved in helping me understand the importance of becoming a U.S. Senator, and for that I will always be appreciative. I still remember that in my maiden speech here on the floor of the U.S. Senate more than 2 years ago, I spoke about the possibilities and the promise that America's small towns and rural communities offer for a country that is in need of clean, renewable energy, a secure food supply, and responsible stewardship of our land and our water. Unfortunately, for too long, in my view, Washington has overlooked the opportunities that rural America can provide, and through a policy of neglect and disinterest has allowed the small towns and rural communities across our country to wither on the vine. This legislation before us will change that course of neglect. Mr. President, the bill before us will bring new life and new energy to rural America. It will do so in a number of different ways. It will do so through a set of smart investments that helps farmers and ranchers and businessmen and women build a clean energy economy that has its roots in the fields of America's farmers and ranchers. It lays the infrastructure through rural broadband and micro-business loans for accelerated economic development in rural areas. It creates incentives for the wise stewardship of land and water, practices that we can all benefit from. It puts money into nutrition programs that take on the scourge of hunger and allow low-income children to learn in our schools of America. And it helps, Mr. President, bring balance and certainty to the agricultural markets so that Americans can continue to enjoy a healthy and secure food supply. It does all of this while closing loopholes that have allowed federal dollars to end up in the hands of people who should not have been eligible for assistance in the first place. It is a smart and fiscally responsible bill. Mr. President, I grew up on a ranch in the San Luis Valley, a few miles north of the Colorado-New Mexico border. My family has farmed and ranched that same land now for five generations. For much of my life, I spent long days in the fields with my family, tending to the cattle, baling hay, and fixing fences. It was hard work, and my hands are permanently calloused from nearly three decades of work on that ranch. But from that work, we always knew that we loved our ranch, our land and our water, and our way of life in rural America. To be a farmer or a rancher is a hard life. Let there be no mistake about that. While the rest of the world might go home at 5 o'clock in an afternoon on a Sunday in July, for those who are working the farms and the ranch, you don't go home until probably half an hour after the sun sets at 9 o'clock. It is very hard work. My parents always said that they could not give us, my seven brothers and sisters, material riches, but they said they could teach us the values that come from work, from family, and from faith. These are the values that you find in rural communities across America. These are the priceless and timeless values that built this great country. In 1787, Thomas Jefferson sent a letter to George Washington in which he talked about the role of the farmer in a young democracy. Thomas Jefferson said, and I quote, "Agriculture is our wisest pursuit because it will in the end contribute most to real wealth, good morals, and happiness." End of quote. Those of us who've had the privilege of growing up on a farm or a ranch, or even if you have just visited some farms and spent some time with America's producers, can appreciate how important agriculture and our rural communities are to our country. Unfortunately, in the coming days, this bill will be criticized by some of the media, criticized by some members in this chamber and others, for being too favorable to farmers, for putting too much money into conservation programs, for supporting rural development initiatives, or for making too many investments in biofuels production. In short, critics will ask why federal dollars should go into programs that on the surface only appear to benefit rural communities. They are wrong, Mr. President. The answer, in my view, is very simple. The health of our farms, our ranches, and our rural communities is vital to American prosperity. Everyone benefits from a strong and a smart farm bill. The farmer in eastern Colorado, the third grader eating fresh fruits and vegetables at lunch, the mother who wants us to reduce our dependence on foreign oil, they all gain from a strong and balanced farm bill. Mr. President, I want to take a few moments to walk through the bill and explain why it is so important for farmers, for children, and for all Americans that this United States Senate pass this farm bill. Since being elected to the Senate In 2004, I have often spoken about how Washington's policies in recent years have been blind to the needs of rural America. More than half of the counties in America are rural counties. In my state of Colorado, 44 of the 64 counties are rural. But in my view, Washington's neglect of rural America has made rural America a forgotten America. Businesses on main streets in many towns and villages across my state of Colorado have been boarded up. FSA offices have been closed or attempted to be closed, including through the very recent actions of the U.S. Department of Agriculture. And family farmers are having to sell their land after years of drought. To see Washington's neglect of our rural communities is disheartening when you know just how much possibility and promise rural America holds. With modest investments, rural America can be the engine of our clean energy economy, fueling an alternative energy revolution that capitalizes on the hard work, productivity, and the entrepreneurship of our farmers and our ranchers. This is why I am so pleased that the 2007 Farm Bill makes such wise investments in rural development. The bill provides $355 million for rural development. These investments will enable entrepreneurs in rural communities to leverage micro-enterprise loans to build their businesses. They will help healthcare providers provide access to underserved rural communities. And they will help get broadband internet access into small towns around the country. Broadband access is to rural communities in the 21st century what highways were in the 20th century and railroads were in the 19th century. It is the infrastructure that is essential to economic development. The $26 million in this bill for broadband will help close the digital divide that is preventing rural businesses and entrepreneurs from fully participating in the global economy. Secondly, Mr. President, this bill includes an energy title that opens up a new chapter of opportunity for rural America. In the 2005 Energy Policy Act and in the energy bill we passed earlier this year, we planted the seeds for a renewable energy revolution in this country so that we can reduce our very dangerous dependence on foreign oil. The Farm Bill takes the next step, helping farmers and ranchers take advantage of renewable energy technologies that have been developed at places like the National Renewable Energy Laboratory in Golden, Colorado. With the $1.3 billion that this bill devotes to energy programs, farmers will be able to apply for grants to develop biorefineries and to improve the handling, harvest, transport, and storage of feedstocks for biofuels. The bill includes tax credits for small wind turbines and cellulosic biofuel production, and it stimulates research into the methods and technologies that will allow the most productive lands in the world to provide more and more of our energy. Mr. President, our farmers and ranchers want to be a part of the solution to our addiction to foreign oil. They want us to help reduce the amount of oil that we import while helping stimulate a clean energy economy that is built on innovation, technology, and taking advantage of the production capabilities of rural America. This energy title is a win-win for our rural communities. And it is my hope that with this energy title in the Farm Bill, together with the other energy legislation that we have adopted in this United States Senate and the committees of this U.S. Senate, that the vision that Senator Grassley and I had with respect to the 25 by 25 resolution will help us grow our way to energy independence. Because the 25 by 25 resolution recognizes at its heart that we in America can grow 25% of our energy from renewable energy resources by the year 2025. This Farm Bill takes us a significant way down that road. Mr. President, the third aspect of the legislation I want to emphasize is a conservation title. Farmers and ranchers are some of the best stewards of our land and water. We need a Farm Bill, Mr. President, that recognizes and encourages the good stewardship practices from which we all benefit. To understand why the conservation programs in the Farm Bill are so important, and to understand how we will benefit from them, just visit one of the ranches along the Yampa River in northwest Colorado. You quickly see there that ranchers don't simply put high-quality grass-fed beef on our dinner table. They guard the open spaces that draw sightseers and recreationalists from all around the world. They protect the clean water that comes to our homes. They provide habitat for fish and game, bringing millions of dollars in revenue from fishing and hunting into our state. Unfortunately, you can't find a price for these values on the Chicago Mercantile Exchange, for these values of clean water and clean air, habitat, and open space dividends that ranch land and farmland provides to America. And if a ranch goes under or is developed, we lose the conservation values that farms and ranches provide. So how do we address this challenge? How do we address this challenge in this bill? We do it through existing effective programs that reward farmers and ranchers for the conservation practices from which we all benefit. Thanks to Chairman Harkin's leadership, the 2007 Farm Bill is the greenest farm bill in the history of America. It reauthorizes highly successful conservation programs like the Environmental Quality Incentives Program, EQIP, and the Conservation Reserve Program, CRP. The bill reauthorizes EQIP, which provides cost share funding and technical assistance to producers so that they can address environmental issues on their lands. In Colorado, we receive around $30 to $40 million a year for projects that, for example, reduce water waste, improve water quality, or provide fencing that keeps livestock out of sensitive areas. The bill also reauthorizes the Conservation Reserve Program, which helps producers retire and restore agricultural land that, if taken out of production, would provide significant environmental benefits. In Colorado alone, we have around 2.3 million acres enrolled in CRP for purposes ranging from erosion control and habitat preservation to improving water use. The reauthorization in this bill will allow us to continue to make these wise investments in stewardship. Beyond the conservation programs, which are so much at the heart of this legislation, we also know that at the heart of this legislation is the food security of our country and the nutrition title that is set forth in this legislation. In addition to the rural development, energy production, and conservation practices in this bill, the 2007 Farm Bill helps ensure the continued production of safe, healthy food right here at home. Since our founding, agriculture has been indispensable to our economy and our prosperity. Corn, tobacco, and cotton helped fund the revolution and the organization of our young states. The promise of free land brought millions of new settlers to the West, where they planted wheat, raised cattle, and cultivated the earth. The productivity of our farms sustained the war effort as we defeated the fascists and Nazis and helped rebuild Europe and Japan and liberated the world. And now, as we search for new ways to power our economy, our farms and ranches offer new promise for a new clean energy economy. Growing up on our ranch in the San Luis Valley taught me just how tough it is to make a living off the land. You work sun up to sundown all year, 7 days a week, to raise a good crop or a healthy herd, and then without anything you can do to prevent it, a hailstorm, disease, drought, or flooding can wipe it all away in a moment's notice. When you do have a bumper crop, you sometimes find that everyone else has had a bumper crop that year too. As a result, prices fall, and you actually sometimes do worse. The bill that is before us helps producers and therefore helps all of us by bringing some level of certainty and structure to agricultural markets. We cannot and should not take the risk out of our farming and ranching. It is a tough business, however you cut it, but we can help make the really bad years just a little less painful in rural America. The little bit of certainty the favorable loan rates or a countercyclical program can provide is often the difference whether a family keeps the farm or loses the farm. Why, some may ask, should we care about whether a family is able to stay on their farm? Why should we care? Well, on my sign for many years, from my days as Attorney General to my days in the U.S. Senate, I've always had a sign on my desk, Mr. President, that says, no farms, no food. To me, that statement tells the story about the importance of food security for our country. The fresh fruits, grains, meats, and vegetables that come from our farms and ranches are essential to public health, reducing hunger, and ensuring that Americans can always find affordable, safe food at their grocery store. A great example of how the bill benefits both producers and consumers is the Fresh Fruit and Vegetable Program championed by Chairman Harkin, which provides fruits and vegetables to school children across all of America. We are expanding this program now so that it covers all 50 states, up from the 14 states that have been covered by this program in the past. For me and for my constituents in Colorado, it means that 80,000 children in Colorado are going to get fresh fruits and vegetables in their school lunches. This will reduce childhood obesity, increase productivity in school, and teach the habits for a healthy lifestyle. Mr. President, I want to speak briefly just about some farm bill reform measures that are included in the bill. Although we all benefit from smart investments and programs that help provide stability and certainty for producers, we also must always be wary of waste and abuse. The 2002 Farm Bill was not perfect, and I am pleased that the Agricultural Committee this year's reauthorization took an opportunity to address the shortcomings. Our bill, for example, includes significant reforms on how we deal with payment limits. USDA payments must now be attributed to an actual person, a real live person, one who breathes, who walks, who works the soil, as opposed to some amorphous entity. Previously, individuals were finding ways to collect payments from up to three different operations under the so-called three-entity rule. We have abolished that in this Farm Bill. The 2002 Farm Bill also left open several loopholes that have allowed Farm Bill dollars to go to non-farmers for land that is no longer in agriculture. I'm proud to have worked with my colleague from Nebraska, Senator Ben Nielsen, on language incorporated into the legislation that stops this waste. Our language prohibits the distribution of commodity support payments for land that has been subdivided for houses or transferred to other non-agricultural uses. This is an important fix. So, is our reform to how Washington deals with agricultural disasters equally important? From time to time, farmers and ranchers get hit by droughts, floods, or tornadoes that wipe away their crop. It happened to us in Colorado last winter in the southeastern part of our state, where a blizzard buried whole herds of livestock. Our producers lost thousands of head of cattle out in southeastern Colorado. Well, how did Washington respond to that agricultural disaster? Washington responded in its own typical fashion. USDA declared it as a disaster. Congress scrambled to find emergency funding. The bill gets stalled, and as in most cases, farmers and ranchers had to wait 2, 3, 4 years before they get any kind of relief. So what is wrong with this picture? First, we're not delivering disaster assistance efficiently. Second, we should not be relying on emergency spending to provide disaster assistance. We need to put these expenditures back on the books. Congress has passed on disaster assistance and the importance of us creating a permanent disaster assistance fund. First, we are not delivering disaster assistance efficiently today. Second, we should not be relying on emergency spending to provide disaster assistance. We need to put these expenditures back on the books. Congress has passed 23 ad hoc disaster assistance bills since 1988. That's 23 since 1988. Though I'm supportive of this emergency assistance and have helped push this disaster emergency assistance forward in the last 2.5 years, I believe that we need to create a system for disaster aid that will respond more efficiently and promptly to the needs of our ranchers and farmers. What we've done on this bill, thanks to the leadership of Chairman Baucus and Ranking Member Grassley on the Finance Committee, is to create a permanent trust fund for disaster assistance. This will allow us to maintain discipline and high standards for determining when to pay our disaster funds, and it will allow producers to get help more quickly. It is a sensible and fiscally responsible solution. Mr. President, the American farmer has always been an engine for prosperity and opportunity in America. Through revolution, Western settlement, depression, and world wars, the men and women who work our lands have always been there to lead us through the next great challenge that faces our country. Today, we are faced with a new challenge, that of building a clean energy economy for the 21st century and we need the help of our farmers and ranchers to get us there. Our national security, our economic security, our environmental security all demand that we grow our way toward energy independence. It is an imperative, but it is also a great opportunity for our nation. The country that successfully replaces its imports of foreign oil with clean, homegrown energy will reap competitive and technological advantages that will keep it out in front of the rest of the world for decades to come. We can play a part in this new economy, but the productivity and ingenuity of rural America is our greatest untapped resource in our quest to reduce our dependence on foreign oil. Mr. President, I am excited about this bill with its investments in rural development, energy technology, and wise stewardship. It taps the great resource of rural America while strengthening our ability to produce clean, safe, and affordable food. This bill represents the best type of work that we can do in the United States Senate, cooperative, bipartisan work that is focused on creating new opportunities for our country. I want to thank again the leadership of both the Agriculture and Finance Committee for allowing us to move forward with this legislation and to bring the legislation to the floor today. I thank you, Mr. President, and I yield the floor.